welcome. See how it gradually gets quiet like that? Isn't that cool? That's authority right there. Well, good morning, everybody. There you go. That's what I'm looking for. So you know what I'm after. I'm after some energy and some feedback and some participation. Not participation, but participation. You know what I mean. Anyhow, I'm glad you're here this morning. And, yeah, you're welcome. First things first, let's get this out of the way. Everybody, happy birthday to Chris Tackle today. They arrived at church this morning, and Dusty had a car full of kids, and Chris was by himself. And I said, is that your birthday present today? Anyhow, you are in for a treat, and so am I this morning. Very much so. I got to meet Joe a little bit before church, and I thought about my welcome this morning, how I was going to talk to you in my most real Southern dialect as possible. I don't have to try. It happens. You're going to be in for a treat because she's just the complete opposite. I love her accent and her voice, and I love her energy and what she's going to bring to us this morning, so I want you to be ready for it. Now, with that said, before we get into the praise and worship and before she comes to bring the word, what I want to remind you of is this. It's up to you. It's up to you. See, I put on my blog this morning, and I do it quite often, that our expectations are what we get. What did you expect this morning? You know what? When I woke up this morning, and most of you, this is just how I am now. It's rainy. The wind was blowing, but I wake up in the morning singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-ay. It's a wonderful day. It is. I don't care what's going on out there. It's a good day, all right? Let's make it that way in here, but again, it's up to you, so I want you to have your expectations. Now, part of that is, you know, energy is energy. Ralph has been coaching us, preaching it to us. Buren brings it to us. Listen, you got to bring the energy, so I want you to stand up this morning. First of all, I want everybody in the praise team, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Everybody give these folks a hand for coming up here. Man, what they're fixing to bring to us. They got the energy. They got the music for us this morning. Go ahead and let's start to enter into worship right now. We're praising and worship. Let's have a good day.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, and constant in the trial and the change, the one thing remains, one thing remains. It never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. You know. never gives, it never runs out on you. Your love never fails, it never runs out, it never runs out on you.
Thank you for your love, God. We just are so thankful that your love never fails. It's always there. And that is just a constant in our life, God, that we're so thankful for. Is you know, the times that we're down, the times that we're up, your love never changes. It never changes, God. And God, thank you that in this next song, God, that the more we seek you, God, the more that we find you. How awesome is that, God? We never get tired of growing in you and you growing in us, God. And we're just so thankful this morning, and we give you praise.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. Let it be, Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be, Jesus, my song inside the storm.
Precious name, God. Your precious, beautiful, glorious, powerful name, Jesus. We inhale you today, God. We love you so much. We give you all the praise, Jesus. Your power and your mercy and your glory and the beauty that you give to us and the relationships you give so that we can enrich others' lives. The fact that we get to have heaven here, and now that this is heaven, you are heaven. We are you, Jesus. We are. And we love you so much, Jesus. Fill this place today. Amen.
Wow. Good morning. You know, sometimes, you know, there's four words that we hear a lot lately, and it's the words thankfulness, gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. And how often we need to use those words over and over and over again. And I was just thinking, Lynn, I was over here, and Michael, I was just sitting over here doing praise and worship and just thanking the Lord for your mom's telling me about your shoulder, and almost painless now. And, Joe, we have a group of guys in the church that are a return. They call the return, they're a Beatle band, and they all do all Beatles songs and dress like the Beatles, and they're about to go to Japan for 1 month tour. And Michael has had some real shoulder problems, I guess, from the guitar strap over him, and now the pain's gone, and we thank God for it. We give him praise for it. And John's daughter had a benign tumor, a tumor removed, and they didn't know if it was cancerous or not, but it's benign. You know, sometimes we just forget to do what we ought to do. We need to thank God for things. You know, this time last year, my wife's liver enzymes were up to 400, and they're practically normal today. You know, we just sometimes forget to say thank you. You know, just 10 lepers came to Christ one time, and he healed all of them. And they all was leaving. One of them came back and said, thank you. And Jesus said, where's the other nine? Didn't I heal 10? And he said, because you come back, you're whole. You're whole. And that meant that whatever limbs he had lost were restored. That the healing went beyond just the healing. It went to total restoration. See, gratitude can go beyond just the healing. It can go to the total restoration. That's God. If you're here and you please fill out your, what do you call this? A connection card. And keeps us connected and we connected. Connection card, it's important that everyone fill one out, because when a guest sees you fill one out, it makes them feel a little more comfortable to fill one out. If you're a guest here for the first time, as you're going out the door, there's some cups out there. Please feel free to take one, and that's our gift to you for being here, because you're a gift to us for coming here this morning. Thank you for being here. If our ushers be coming, we're going to receive our morning tithes and offerings. And we've got a guest speaker this morning named Joe Norton from London, England, and we're looking forward to that. She's written a book, several books, but this is her latest book, 30-Day Detox for Your Soul, and we already sold a good number of them, but I'm going to give this one a signed copy. I'm going to give this to you. And thank you and Bill for being so faithful to this house for so many years. God bless you. And she'll be out back signing books if you'd like to purchase one after the service. See, this weather to us is like, boo. This weather to her is normal. This is London, England weather. It's this way all the time. So she's just all perky this morning and happy, and all you down about the weather and, you know, the wet rain except for zippity doo-dah over here. But when she just gets up and starts talking, I told her this morning, I said, I have to get up and really have to say something to get their attention. I said, when you open your mouth this morning, everybody's just going to go, aw, aw. It's just, listen to that accent. After you listened to us so southern boys for so long. And she was at a church not long ago, and she looked over and she says, I need some water. And the guy said, do what? She said, I need some water. And he said, what? She said, water. He said, okay, water, yeah. All right, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your great grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to bring our tithes and our offerings to your storehouse. Thank you that you promised that you would rebuke the devourer for us. You would open up the windows of heaven. You would pour out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. And that our seeds that we plant will come to fruition and will not be taken away from us. And for that, we give you all honor and praise and glory in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, Joe Norton. And I am pronouncing that name correct, in case you don't know. So I'll let her tell you why I'm pronouncing that name correct. Joe, God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you so much. Well, it is wonderful to be with you here. Thank you so much, Byrne and Barbara. I can't see Barbara anymore. Somewhere off there. Wonderful. And thank you, Joe. Where's everyone's moving around? It's very confusing. And Chris and Dusty, it's really great to be with you. And we share a very wonderful mutual friend in Dwayne and Sunny Swilly. And they are dear friends of ours. And so whether you like it or not, you've got friends in London. And that's us. So it is such a privilege and a blessing and honor to be with you today. My husband is a wonderful guy. I'm still married to him. We've just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary. And it's better today than it ever was. And we have two wonderful children who are 14 and 13. I got my daughter's age wrong the other day and said, how old did you think I was, Mummy? And I said, well, I wasn't sure whether it was 12. How could you? So note to self, never underestimate my daughter's age. But what two wonderful children. And it's just a real blessing to be here in a family church. You can always tell when you're in a family church. And when people have been here for a long time, it says a lot about the church. And many of you I've met who've been in this church for a long time. So it really is an honor to be here with you. I just want to open in prayer. So if you just shut your eyes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Father, I bow my knee before you, the God from whom every single family on earth was created, was made, that derived its name. Father, I pray that you would be glorified in this place today. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Thank you, Lord. Now, can I ask you just to put your hand on your heart while you're still in prayer? And just pray, Heavenly Father, I pray that the light of your Spirit would shine into my heart and do what only you can do. Remove every obstacle to your love and light shining through me. And have your way in me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. And the pulpit moved while I wasn't looking. Wow, it's one of those places where suddenly, praise God. Praise God. You know, there is a verse in the Bible which for me is one of the most fundamental verses. And I think it really is the verse that has shaped everything that God has led me to. And it's in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24. And it says this, and I'm going to quote it in the New Living Translation. But it says, in the New Living Translation, it says, guard your heart, for it determines the course of your life. And I just think that's an amazing, amazing, amazing verse. I find it so reassuring at one level, because it means that it's not my education or my upbringing that determines my destiny. It's not my qualifications that determines how my life is going to turn out. It's not whether I get everything right all of the time that determines how things are going to turn out. You know, that verse says that our hearts are what God is looking at and what is going to determine how things turn out in our lives. And I really believe that this morning that the Lord has sent me with a word that is going to shine into our hearts. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says that the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, shining into the inner depths of the heart. You know, and what does that mean? That means that my spirit and your spirit, they're like the window for the Holy Spirit to shine his light into our hearts. You know, and the original Hebrew of that, where it says in the innermost depths, it talks about the rooms of the belly of the heart. In other words, our hearts are like these houses, these really huge houses. We have ancient buildings in the UK, hundreds of years old, with all these different little nooks and crannies and secret places. And, you know, our hearts are a bit like that, aren't they? You know, we have so many different rooms in our hearts. And sometimes we have no entry signs on some of those rooms. Amen? And what the Holy Spirit wants to do is shine his light into our hearts. Why does he want to do that? Because he wants to shine his light into those areas where there are things that have hindered us, that have made us dry, discouraged, disheartened. He wants to shine his light into those areas of our hearts which have caused us to feel dry or frustrated or insecure. And he wants to shine his light so that he can remove those hindering obstacles that we didn't even know were holding us back. What an awesome God we serve. You know, I want to share this morning about two Bible characters. And we're just going to look at their lives briefly. But just before I get into that, I'm just sensing the leading of the Holy Spirit. I just want to share a little bit with you about my journey. I've been married, as I mentioned, for 20 years. And as soon as I got married, I joined my husband in ministry. He'd planted our church literally just a couple of months earlier. Started off with two very sweet old Irish ladies. And then one family, and that was it. And so he had a hard slog on his hands. I joined him and did my best to help. In fact, at the very beginning, I just thought, God, you cannot want me to join that church. I remember the first time I visited going, no way. No, God will kind of lead me to be somewhere else. And, you know, I'll just support my husband behind the scenes. But oh, no. Anyway, I joined him. And over the last 20 years, we've seen God do a wonderful thing. But you see, we got married. When we met, I was in Bible college. I'd been saved since I was a teenager, and I really, really loved the Lord. You know, from when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I was passionate about the things of God, and by age 15, I'd read the Bible cover to cover and was always sharing the gospel with my friends, and, you know, went through various different phases and seasons in my life, but I'd always dreamt about being married. And met my husband, and we had one of those supernatural kind of encounters, and I knew that he was the one. And, you know, I remember waking up, you know, on the morning after my marriage and just thinking, my goodness, this isn't going to be as easy as I thought it might be. You know, suddenly the fairy tale, the bubble, if you like, burst. And, you know, I was one of these people who everything looked really wonderful on the outside. You know, is it okay to be real? And everything looked great on the outside. You see, I had this wonderful looking marriage on the outside. My husband and I, after a few years of marriage, had our first child. and our church was growing. I was leading people to the Lord. I'd just started to preach more and more around the UK, and doors were opening in different nations, and things looked fantastic on the outside. But the problem was, I'd prayed a prayer, and I remembered something burned on the inside of me, and I remember praying and saying, God, I want you to use me to bring your healing and your love to the nations of the world. And you see, if we pray big prayers and ask God to do big things, do you know what he does? He digs deep in us. And here I was, you see, before going into full-time ministry, I had some great jobs. And I worked with Prince Charles. I ran the communications and marketing for his most prestigious charity. I remember, you know, I would often get headhunted. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. And I was a VP for the biggest PR company in the world, based in London, overseeing corporate social responsibility. Everything looked fantastic on the outside. But you see, there were some real issues on the inside. And after about 10 years of marriage, 10 years in ministry, I remember a day when God just suddenly confronted me with the truth. Because as I said, I'd prayed. I'd said, God, use me. How many of you have prayed for God to use you? Wave at me. I love a bit of interaction. I get bored of my own voice. And so, you know, and I'd prayed, God, use me. Lord, I want you to do stuff through me. I want you to use me as a blessing. And so God started to shine his light. And I remember one day, I was at this pastor's convention and we were having lunch. And there were not many pastors at this meeting, but there were about 200 people in this hotel restaurant. There was the group of the pastors who were there, maybe 30 in one corner of that restaurant. And a woman sat opposite me. And she started to speak into my life. And she said this, and you're welcome to go, ouch. She said, the problem with you, Joe, that's not a nice way for someone to start something, is it? I mean, come on, let's you know, have a praise sandwich. Anyone heard of a praise sandwich? We try and do that in the UK. Something nice first, then the problem in the middle. Oh, no. Oh, no, it wasn't softened for me. She said, the problem with you, Joe, is it's all about position. And I remember just sitting there. And then she continued. And she said, the honest truth is, I don't believe that you've ever faced the rejection from your childhood. Now, here I am sitting in this restaurant surrounded by people, bunch of pastors, who, if I can be very honest again, whose opinions meant a lot to me. I minded that I looked like I had it together in front of these pastors. And she said to me, I don't think you've ever faced the rejection from your childhood. And I remember saying, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And us Brits can say things like that very impressively. It's true. And she looked at me and she said, I think the pain has run so deep that you've never been able to deal with it. And in that place, with about 30 pastors around me and a hotel restaurant full of people, I suddenly broke down and wept. And I cried and cried and cried. And for the first time in my life, I admitted that I didn't feel good enough. I admitted that I just felt like someone who wasn't enough. And I remember just sobbing in that place. You see, the kind of symptoms that showed in my life at that time was it made me feel good when people called me pastor. That made me feel like I was important. You know, other things, it was really important that people said, you know, good job, well done. When I preached, I wanted people to say that was a fantastic message, Joe. And I would say, praise God, but what I really meant was, praise me. It's amazing how one thing can come out of our mouth and something else is going on in our hearts. And you know, why was that the case? You see, I was insecure. It mattered to me what other people thought of me. You know, I was one of those people that if you forgot my birthday, I'd feel rejected. If there wasn't a seat for me, I'd feel really awkward. But you see, that was just a bunch of symptoms, a bunch of fruits, if you like, proving that there was a root on the inside of me that needed dealing with. Do you remember I started by saying, it's our hearts that determine the course of our lives. And you see, I really believe that God wants to do a work in our hearts this morning. He wants to shine his light into those areas and those things where there have been blockages, where there's been dryness, into areas of disappointment, so that he can start to revive us and renew us again. I want to look at two young people in Scripture. And the first is Joseph. I mean, I just love the story of Joseph. I'm sure a lot of you do here. And, you know, if we just have a quick recap of Joseph's life. You know, he was born into, if he was born today, it would have been into a nice Christian church-going family, wouldn't it? You know, the equivalent. I understand he was a Hebrew, I understand. But, you know, Joseph was born into this family. Now, when he was young, his mum died. And so it wasn't all a bed of roses for Joseph growing up. But he knew that his dad loved him. I mean, Joseph knew that he knew that he was favored and loved by his father. You know, and I think it's amazing that the moment we receive Jesus into our hearts, that we become those who are completely favored by our Father in heaven. You know, and that was Joseph. But unfortunately, his brothers didn't grow up knowing the same thing. You know, I don't know whether you grew up in a home where your father or mother preferred brother or sister, but that hurts. You know, I remember trying so hard as a young child to, you know, really engage my dad in conversation. And I remember one time thinking, really thinking hard about the question I was going to ask and thinking, yes, I have got it. I have got a question that's going to get my dad talking away to me. This is it. I was so excited and we sat down at the dinner table, but I hadn't understood the value of an open-ended question. Another note to self. And I remember sitting there and saying, Dad, are the stars a really long way away? Thinking, this is it. We are going to be talking all evening now. And my father just turned to me. He's got this amazing British accent. If you think my accent's good, you want to hear his. And he just went, yes. And I remember sitting there going, oh no, didn't work. You know, and that was what it was like for Joseph's brothers. They grew up just not knowing really whether their dad loved them. And, you know, soon that jealousy turned into hatred. And they just couldn't stand looking at this golden boy who just represented rejection to them. You know what it's like if there's someone who's got it all and you haven't, something about them, it's not even their fault. But something, sometimes their very presence can make us feel just so small. And I believe that's what it was like for Joseph's brothers. And I'm going to pick up this story in Genesis chapter 37. And I'm going to read verse 23. And this is a time when Jacob had sent Joseph to go to the fields to see where his brothers were, to see how they were getting on. And just said, you know, I want to go you to go check on them and then come back and tell me. And it says, so it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down and had a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked. And there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it if we kill our brother? And you know the rest of the story. You know, here was Joseph, and he's just 17. That's young, isn't it? You know, my son's 14. Like that's just 3 years older than my son. And it's yesterday that I was kind of rocking him in my arms, you know. And here's Joseph, age 17, and he's got this, you know, pretty good life. And he clearly was pretty unaware of his brother's feelings about him. And then there was this suddenly. You know, there are two types of suddenlies. There are suddenlies in the Bible, which are those really exciting ones, which we all love. Amen? How many of you are waiting for one of those suddenlies, the good sort? But this is a different kind of suddenly, where Joseph is stripped. He's kicked. He's beaten. He's thrown into a pit. You know, and you've got to remember that coat that was stripped from him. That was the coat that represented his dad's love. That was the coat that said, "You're favored. I love you. You're special." That very coat was stripped from him, torn, and he was kicked into this pit. You know, and I know he was in there a long time, because otherwise it would not have been relevant that there was no water. You know, and if you read later on in the book of Genesis in chapter 50, you see that literally while Joseph is in that pit, he's crying out to his brothers and he's saying, "Please help me, have mercy on me." And they just, not only do they ignore him, but they sit down and have a picnic. You know, everything in Joseph's life just fell apart in that moment. You know, and so often the enemy is looking to bring about damage on the inside of us through the things that we go through. He's looking to bring about some lasting, permanent damage to our view of people, to our ability to love and trust, to our ability to expect the best. And this is exactly what happened to Joseph. Just everything suddenly changed, and in the most horrific way. And I want us to look at another young person. We know that Joseph was 17 when this happened. And we don't know the age of this other young person, but just for the sake of this illustration, we can assume that she was 17 too. And this is a young woman called Tamar. And this was another woman who was born into a really special family. Tamar was King David's daughter. And she was another young woman who had a coat of many colors, because that was what the king's virgin daughters wore, that set them apart. Again, a sign of the favor of God on their lives. You know, some of you, because of the things you've gone through, it's almost made you doubt the favor of God around you. But let me tell you, God favors you as though you were the only one. That's the God that we serve. You know, and here was Tamar, and God had a plan for a life. "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future." Tamar was born into David's family, into a worshipper's family. And she had a future. She had a destiny. You know, one of the things about God is that he's great. Amen? How many of you agree God is great? Wave at me if God is great. While your hands are still raised, how many of you are made in the image of God? Amen. That means that your destiny is greatness. That means God wants to do great things in you and through you. His DNA resides on the inside of us. And that was the same for Tamar. But she had a half-brother called Amnon who had a crush on her. And he talked to the wrong person. You know, the Bible says if you walk with the wise, you become wise. But if you become a companion of fools, it leads to destruction. It's so important who we listen to. Amen? Be so careful about who you share your heart with. Make sure it's those people who are going to bring words of wisdom, words of life. You know, and here, this young man was foolish because he hung around with a fool called Jonadab, his cousin. And this guy said, "Look, you can have this girl. Look, if you've got a crush on her, it doesn't matter that she's your sister, you can have what you want. You're the king's son." And we see that he set up this scenario where Ammon then told his dad, I'm really sick, please send Tamar to me with cakes, and if she comes and feeds me, I'm going to feel better. And I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 11. And it says that he said to her, to Tamar, he said, come lie with me, my sister. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me. For no such thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. And I, where would I take my shame? But he would not listen to her. Verse 14, he would not heed her voice. And being stronger than she, he forced her and lay with her. Then Ammon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Ammon said to her, rise, be gone. And she said to him, no, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you've already done to me. But he would not listen. Then he called his servant. Remember, this was a princess. And he called his servant and said, here, put this woman away from me and bolt the door behind her. Now she had on the royal robe of many colors, for the king's daughters wore such apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe of many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Ammon, your brother, been with you? But now, hold your peace, my sister. He's your brother. Do not take this thing to heart. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Another young woman who had the world waiting for her. And then she met with a terrible suddenly. You know, I think rape, abuse, any form of this kind of violence can be absolutely just tragic for a person to go through. And, you know, Tamar didn't just experience this at the hands of any old person. It was her brother, someone she was supposed to be able to trust. But in one moment, Tamar's entire world fell apart. And she was just broken. She tore her own coat. She put ashes all over herself. You know, but I just want to go back to a scripture that we know really well. And I already mentioned it. You know, that the plans God has for us are plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. Now, you see, God's word isn't dependent on our lives being a bed of roses. Are you hearing me? You know, the Bible says in Job 5 verse 7 that as sparks fly upwards, man is born to trouble. So you and I know that every single one of you has faced difficulties, disappointments, trouble. You've gone through stuff because the Bible says it's going to happen. You know, and what God has is this wonderful plan and his plans. And if you look at the life of Jesus, he said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And so God has this awesome plan, and we need to know God's plan. But let me tell you whose plan we need to understand as well. We need to understand the enemy's plan for our life. Because you see, the Bible says that the thief comes but only to kill, steal, and destroy. You know what? He can't kill us most of the time. You know, we have the blood of Jesus protecting us. Amen? But I'll tell you what he is after. He's after your destiny. He's after the God-given talents on the inside of you. He wants them to stay locked up on the inside. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy our potential. And so you see, when I look at the life of Tamar on the life of Joseph, in Tamar in particular, you know, I don't believe the saddest thing that happened to her was rape. You know, however brutal, however painful, however defiling, however soul-destroying, going through rape, going through any form of abuse might be. Do you know what? I believe the saddest thing that happened to Tamar was that she remained desolate in her brother's house. That's what the Bible says. And you know, Absalom, the very guy who loved her and was trying to help her, said the very thing that we still so often say today. Oh, well, don't take it to heart. Just don't think about it. Get over it. How many of you heard that? Just get over it. Just move on. You know, just don't go there. But you know what? Our hearts, the Bible says, are individually designed. Do you know every single one? It's not just our fingerprints that are unique. The Bible says that each one of our hearts are individually designed by God. The Bible says in Psalm 64 that the heart of man and inner thought are deep. Our hearts are complex. Our hearts are amazing. But our hearts can be very deeply wounded. And you see, the very words that Absalom thought were going to help his sister probably helped really drive a nail into the coffin of her destiny. Just forget it. Doesn't matter. Don't go there. You know, just leave it. He's your brother. Get over it. You know, and this is where the amazing thing, if you look at the call of Jesus, what does the Bible say? You know, speaking of Jesus' call, it says, "For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And then if you read, you carry on reading in Isaiah and in Matthew, it goes on to talk about how God wants to do a work in our hearts, to heal the brokenhearted, to open the door of those that are bound in prison. You know, there's so much of the ministry of Jesus that we learn from about that very prophetic word that he declared over himself when he first stood up in a synagogue after he stepped into public ministry that says Jesus cares about our hearts. He wants to do a work in our hearts. And so here was Tamar. And you know, one of my favorite scriptures is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. And I'll tell you why it's one of my favorite scriptures. You see, it says that the Father of all comfort comforts us in our troubles. In other words, doesn't just say, forget it. Amen? Comforts us in our troubles that, say that, that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort that we ourselves were comforted with. You see, what's that saying? That's saying that, you know, you and I are going to go through stuff. But when we do, there is a healer who wants to do a work deep on the inside of us. And out of that work that he does in us, he's going to do a work through us. Do you know what I believe could have been Tamar's new destiny? She was living in a time when rape was common. I think it is still. But there she was, and I believe that God could have done a work of healing in Tamar's heart. She lived in a home where, you know, her dad knew how to get into the presence of God. He's the one who wrote, "Pour out your heart before the Lord." He knew how to tell God about his pain. You know, just in Psalm 6, he says, "I make my bed swim with my tears." This man knew how to pour out his heart before the Lord and to say, "God, I could handle it if anyone else had betrayed me. But it was my best friend. This hurts, God." Are you hearing me? David knew how to get his heart healed. And I believe that God wanted to heal Tamar's heart, and he had a destiny for her. But instead, what does she do? She shut down, she shut up, and she shut the world out. You know, I said that we need to understand what God's plans are for our lives, but we need to understand the devil's plans. You know what his plan for me was? He wanted to get me just, how can I put it, just apparently successful enough for me to just think that this was my lot. He wanted to leave me with sufficient mobility. In other words, I could, you know, I might have been limping, but I could still walk. He wanted me to just carry on the way I was. He wanted me to feed on people's approval. He wanted me to get my sense of validity from your opinion of me. You know, he wanted me to try and derive my security from my husband's love for me. You know, one of the things that a real mistake that so many of us make is we get married thinking, you know, well, wow, if I'm loved, then it's all going to be all right. Isn't that right? You know, marriage will never make us whole. It's out of wholeness in marriage that we can be a great wife, we can be a great husband. But you see, what the enemy wanted for me was to keep me in that place where I cared so very much what people thought, where I was full of insecurities, but not aware, really, of the truth beneath it all. You know, one of the tricks of the enemy, another one, let me tell you one, that there are certain things that happen that are so bad that you just kind of come to terms with them, but you never fully recover. You know, and I remember several years ago, I said that we've got two children. Well, our first daughter was called Naomi. And she was this beautiful little girl with bright blue eyes, a magnetic personality, blonde curly hair. She was full of the joys of life. But in the year 2000, just before her second birthday, she very suddenly died. You know, and I remember at the time, you know, we were pastoring. We were giving our all to God. You know, we would always watch our words over her and try and surround her with love and security. And then very suddenly, she got this form of meningitis that had no rash. We got her to the hospital in time, but the doctor decided not to give her a $10 shot of antibiotics that would have saved her life. I remember pleading with the doctor, please give my girl antibiotics, please. And the doctor was just so stubborn and kept saying, not until I get a urine sample, not until I get a urine sample. I was saying, but she hasn't drunk for 18 hours. And by the time she was eventually given antibiotics, it was too late. And within 24 hours of arriving at hospital, our only child at the time, our delight, our everything, our, you know what it's like when you have this bundle of joy, she was just suddenly gone. You know, and I remember the doctor, the consultant in charge, came to our home 4 weeks after she died. And the reason he was there is clearly there had been medical negligence. And he sat with us. And he thought he was speaking words of comfort when he said, you will never get over your child's death. I think what he was trying to say to us is, I understand how much she means to you. And, you know, this pain is always going to be a sign of the love that she was to you. You know, and really I believe that what the enemy was trying to do through that was to completely destroy our lives. You know, but you see, that verse in 2 Corinthians is the word of God. And let me tell you what God did in our hearts. Over the weeks and months and, you know, up until about a year after she died, God would shine his light into our hearts. And God did this work of healing. I remember one time when I was in our lounge, our sitting room, and I decided it was time to tidy her toys away. Very foolish because I was alone. And it was only maybe a month after she died. And I remember starting to pick up her toys and the pain was just terrible. And I remember just breaking down and the pain was too much. And I remember just all I wanted to speak to was someone who understood what I was going through. And I knew two ladies who'd lost a child, one 20 years previously, the other 14 years previously. And I couldn't get hold of either of them on the telephone. And I remember sitting there and just crying out to God and saying, help! And literally I felt a hand reach down from heaven into my innermost being and pull pain out of me. And it was so extreme and so real that afterwards, I remember just sitting down on our sofa, just breathing like that. And you see, over the next months and period of time, God bit by bit completely and utterly restored our hearts. He did the same for my husband. And you see, I stand before you today as someone, I carry no sadness at all about the loss of my first child. I know that I'm going to pick up in heaven one day. I reckon she's going to take me around heaven saying, Mummy, let me introduce you to David. You know, he's over here. Come on, Mummy, let's go and see Peter. I mean, who knows? But that's how I picture it. But you see, the enemy wants you to believe that there's some stuff that you've gone through that you'll have to carry as sadness in your soul to the grave. It's not true. Are you hearing me? You see, if the enemy could have used that tragedy to cripple us, I would not be here today. If the enemy could have used a childhood where I grew up in a very broken and hurting family, my parents never divorced, but they went through virtually everything else. Serious mental illness, violence, bloodshed, all sorts of stuff happened when I was growing up. You know, and what was the enemy trying to do to me? He was trying to make me insecure. He was trying to make me fearful. He was trying to put rejection so deeply on the inside of me that I'd never be able to fully give myself to my husband. You know, but there's nothing that you and I go through that God can't completely and utterly restore. Do you know, Pastor, after my little girl died, I sat down. There was some friends who were amazing after she died. And this couple was an American couple who were pastoring in the UK. And we were sitting together, and he remembers me saying to him, and I don't even remember it myself. I said to him, I have prayed that God will give me a ministry to the brokenhearted as a result of what I've gone through. Do you know, God heard that prayer that I didn't even remember. And you know, I now count it an honor to have gone through that tragedy, because God has used my husband and I to bring healing and restoration to countless couples across the world. Are you hearing me? You see, he's the God who can turn our lives around. You know, I was so dysfunctional. It all looked lovely on the outside. Remember that bit. Never be deceived by how things look. Even Prophet Samuel, the most spiritual man on the face of the earth, looked at Eliab, Jesse's firstborn, and said, surely this is God's choice. The most spiritual man on the face of the earth thought Eliab looked like a great guy. And Eliab is the only one of Jesse's sons that God actually rejected. All the others, he just said, I have not chosen. You look at it for yourself. What am I saying? Things can look great on the outside. But you know, I believe that two prayers went up from my heart that caused God to do a deep work in me. The first prayer I shared with you, Lord, I want you to use me to bring your love and your healing to the nations. I don't know where that prayer came from, because I didn't even know why I was praying it. Sometimes God just plants prayers on the inside of us. It's a divine setup for the most wonderful work of his Spirit. You know the other thing I prayed? You know, I prayed, God, will you please make me the wife my husband deserves? You know, I was so messed up growing up. You know, not any fault of my parents, just because they'd gone through stuff. And hurt people, you know, it's very difficult when we're hurt to create an environment that's completely secure. Isn't that right? And, you know, a lot of stuff I went through growing up meant I developed all sorts of issues. And one of the things I really struggled with was in this area, and, you know, no one ever talks about these things, but I really struggled with intimacy. And that nearly destroyed my marriage. And I remember crying out to God and saying, Father, please make me the woman that my husband deserves. Please do a work in me so that he gets what he deserves. You know, and God heard those prayers and started a deep work on the inside of me. You know, he shined his light into my heart, and this woman that thought all was well, suddenly I became aware of rejection. Suddenly I became aware of all these insecurities. Suddenly I became aware of the truth. And when I faced the truth, it was the beginning of the most monumental work in my life. 10 years ago, God started something so significant and deep that I don't even recognize the person that I was back then. You know, and you see, the honest truth is the more free we get, then the more useful we are to Jesus. The more free we are, then, you know, we don't worry what people will think anymore. If someone is, you know, I mean, we're all coming from the same place, okay? A fallen, sinful world, amen? You know, but you're walking through church and somebody grimaces at you, you know, and kind of, you know, the broken person thinks, well, what did I do? What's wrong? And gets all upset and hurt. You know, but they were probably just, I don't know what you call it here, but, oh yeah, I remember. They were probably just, you know, passing gas. Do you know what I mean? And if it wasn't gas, what God wants us to do is instead think, are they okay? Are you hearing me? You see, the more over myself I am, the more I can be concerned about the well-being of others. You know, then it no longer matters if someone forgets my birthday. It no longer matters if I get left out because I'm secure and whole on the inside. So I can be over me and more concerned about the well-being of others. You see, the huge difference between Joseph and Tamar was what they did with their pain. Every single one of us goes through stuff. Let me say some things. If you're feeling dry, if you're discouraged or disheartened, and I mean in the sort of way where it's a bit rooted on the inside. You know, if it seems like all is well, but if I were to scratch a bit beneath the surface, you would say there's some sadness down there. You know, if you do worry like I did terribly, what other people thought of you, if their opinions can hurt you. You know, just this morning I got a message sent to me on Facebook from somebody who was, you know, just decided to have a little dig. Someone I don't really know. I got another one, you know, that the more, you know, God does and raises you up. This is why he wants us whole before he promotes us. Are you hearing me? Because you see, if people's praises build you up, then people's criticism will be able to crush you. But if people's words aren't what build you up, then their words can't pull you down either. Are you hearing me? God wants us to reach that place of security where we're not dependent on people for our well-being. You know, I mean, my husband deserves a medal. Oh, my goodness. You know, in the first few years after being married, you know, if we'd had like a disagreement, you know, or something, and then we'd gone to bed, I'd be all worried, lying in bed, churning, stomach turning over. Anyone know what I'm talking about? I'd be lying there, and you see, one thing I've learned, Pastor, about men is they're a bit like bears. Okay, ladies, don't wake a sleeping man. Men like to sleep, and when they're asleep, they should be allowed to sleep. Well, you see, my husband would be just in that twilight zone. You know when you're just about to nod off, that perfect moment of bliss? And then I would suddenly go, because this is my pet name for him, I would say, Paolo. And he'd be like, what is it, my love? Do you still love me? And he'd be looking at me. You've got to remember, I was a pastor. You know, big job in London City. And he'd look at me and go, yes, I still love you. Now, please, just go back to sleep. And then I'd be lying there still. You see, that wasn't good enough. It hadn't filled up my security tank enough. You know, the petrol or gas, you know, it's not filled up enough. And he'd just be nodding off into blissful sleep again. And then it would be, Paolo, what is it? Can I have a hug? You see, when we're insecure, one of the places that it spills out is in our closest relationships. You know, now if my husband calls me and he's in a rush and he has to go, gotta go, hangs up. I don't churn on the inside anymore. I know he's busy. Are you hearing me? You know, these things are symptoms of the truth. There's something that, there's a verse in the Bible that I absolutely love. You know the story about Isaac and Rebekah. They were believing God to have children. Isaac prayed for 20 years. Eventually, Rebekah, his wife, got pregnant in the book of Genesis. And, you know, it's all going well, but then things just didn't feel good anymore. We don't know what that meant, whether it was a churning on the inside, whether she was in pain. We don't know what it was, but something didn't feel right. And she prayed a monumental prayer. She prayed this: if all is well, then why am I like this? I want to encourage you today. I believe that God wants to take many of you on a new journey towards the truth so that you can be set free from every hindrance, from everything that's held you back, from everything that's made you feel just a little bit smaller than other people. You know, and if you will pray that prayer, you know, I don't know, maybe you're in a meeting and what you say is dismissed by others and you start to feel all upset. Pray that prayer. When you get out, when you get into your secret place, Lord, if all is well, then why did I react like that? You know, sometimes it's, you've been working in church and doing really, you know, giving your best, and no one said thank you. Or maybe they did, but not quite recently enough. And you're starting to feel unloved, unappreciated. Do you know, if all is well, then why am I like this? If someone forgetting your birthday hurts, if losing a contract at work makes you feel small, if not getting that promotion or somebody else being promoted over your head makes you feel that you're less of a person, if all is well, then why am I like this? You know, so often the insecurities and fears and issues in our lives of adults are just symptoms of issues that have been underlying very often for years. You know, I was ministering in Miami, and I ministered, particularly I was talking about fathers. And that day, a 63-year-old man came to the altar, and he sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. And that day, God healed him so deeply. You know, and that man had been carrying around the rejection of when his father walked out when he was seven. That man was a pastor in his church, but still carrying this sense of abandonment. And that day, he got completely set free. And I remember his wife saying, because he wrote into my website with testimony, and he said, his wife said that he'd got a new husband, that she'd got a new husband. You know, so often we're carrying hurts, we're carrying disappointment. You know, one of the things that David was so phenomenal at was knowing what to do with his pain. And you know, Joseph was good at it too. You see, the difference between Joseph and Tamar was that Tamar got wounded, broken, defiled, hurt, rejected, betrayed, but she remained desolate. You know, one of the scriptures in Song of Songs that Solomon speaks about his wife who went through a lot of pain in her childhood, which you can see in Song of Songs 1 verse 6 where she talks about her childhood. And he spoke of his wife and he said, my sister, my spouse is like a spring shut up, a fountain enclosed. You know, and what the enemy wants to do is he wants us to shut down in certain areas. He wants us to function okay 80% of the time, knowing that 20 is where you've got a ministry. That 20 is where you can reach out in your community. That bit of your life where you've just written off and said, I'm just never going to go there again, is the very place where God's saying, I want to heal you, and out of your healing, I'm going to give you a ministry. You know, the very thing that shut Tamar down could have been her platform in ministry. Could have been the way that she would have reached out to and helped others. You know, when God started this work on the inside of me, out of my own disappointments and pain, God gave me a new ministry. He is the God, you see, we read it, don't we? Romans 8:28. God works all things together for good. But we don't really believe it about the big ones. Oh no, you can't lose a child and it work together for good. You can. I lost my daughter, my firstborn, my only child at the time, and God has turned that around for my good and for the good of others. I grew up in a home that was full of rejection and pain and violence and real difficulties. I mean, major difficulties. You know, and the enemy's plan was to completely destroy me and to leave me really as a kind of a woman riddled with rejection. But God did such a deep work that out of those very areas of pain and shame, He turned it around. Even my mistakes. You know, because of all that pain, when I went away to university, I loved God with all my heart, but I backslid. And I went to places I shouldn't have gone and did things I shouldn't have done. You know, and I remember really struggling with all that guilt when I rededicated my life to the Lord. And then God showed me that He'll work that around for my good even. Are you hearing me? Because you see, out of my freedom, out of my knowledge of my complete acceptance by God, I'm able to bring hope to people who think they're a mess up. Are you hearing me? You know, when a mess up opens their mouths and instead of hearing a mess, you actually hear love, people go, wow. Well, if He can do it for you, maybe He can do it for me too. You know, the enemy wants us to do what Tamar did. But the Lord's saying, I want to shine my light today. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 11, remove sorrow from your heart. It's not a suggestion. You know, and how do we remove pain and sadness? We have to feel it just for a little while. You know, I didn't like having to feel my pain in that hotel restaurant in front of 200 people. I think God's just got a great sense of humor, hasn't He? The very woman who cared so much what everyone thought was snotting on the floor in front of the very people that I was trying to impress. They were not impressed, but hey, who cares? I got healed. You know, there's nothing that you've gone through that God can't turn around. There's no pain. There's no disappointment that He can't turn around for your good. You know, another scripture I love in Ecclesiastes is this. It says that a sad countenance is better than laughter because it brings healing to the heart. You know, what's that saying? There's times when if we just constantly put a smile on our faces, that we're going to stay the same. But there's a season for everything, a purpose for everything under the sun. And what does the Bible say? A time for healing. A time for weeping. A time to get ourselves sorted so that we can be useful to the Master. You know, the book that Buren mentioned, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Good enough. I'm trying. My husband's brilliant at languages and all that stuff. And he always says, I speak two languages, English and rubbish. So I struggle with words and phrases that I've not heard before, but I like the name. It sounds like a cowboy name. Is it? No. Sounds to me like, you know, you'd be... I like it. We're having a cowboy Christmas party in our church, so you'd be very welcome to join us. You know, there's a time for everything. There's a time for us to get sorted so that we can enjoy our lives so much more. You know, let me tell you one little story before we go into a time of ministry. You know, some time ago, I'm married to a very hilarious man. He loves to joke and jest, and he's always at it. And I had to have someone like that. I'm so serious and intense. I remember the first time I met Bishop Swilly. he was Dwayne Swilly's ministered here. Do you know him? Yeah. And the first time we met, and we were at a conference, and the four of us were chatting. My husband, but I think I was talking the most. And he suddenly stopped and he turned to my husband and he said, "I love your wife. She's so intense." I remember laughing and thinking, thank God I'm healed and secure. But I had to marry a man who's a bit lighthearted and funny because I'm extremely intense. But he just loves to joke. And I remember one Sunday we were doing a big dedication of a baby. And there were lots and lots of visitors there. And that was one of those days where we'd all been busy in the morning and I'd gone out. We have to both bring separate cars to church because we have sort of carloads of people that we're bringing in. And so he hadn't seen me since I'd got dressed. And we got to church, standing at the front of the church. And, you know, we'd invited the family forward. And this was like a large family. And so the baby was there, loads and loads of people on the platform with us as we were about to dedicate this baby, hundreds and hundreds of people there. And my husband suddenly looked at me and went, "My love," he said, "your shoes do not match your jacket." Ladies, wave at me. So anyway, I laughed, didn't think any more of it. But then at the end of the service, a young woman came to me. And she said, "We love our pastor. We love the fact that he's such a jester, such a joker." She said, "But whenever he says something like that to you," he said, "we all look at your face." And she said, "And when we see the security in your eyes, we know that we can get there very soon." You see, the transformation that God's done of healing in my heart, there's a security. You know, I'm comfortable in my own skin. But it was through a work of allowing God to shine his light into those deep places. I just want to ask you to stand in the presence of the Lord. Seven times in just seven chapters in the book of Genesis, Joseph cried. One time so loudly that the neighbors heard next door. One time for so long that his cheeks were stained pink. He cried in his dad's arms. He cried in his brother's arms. This was a man that knew how to pour out his heart before the Lord. You see, the Bible says in Lamentations 2, it says, "Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord." How do we get healed? We get healed by really telling God how we feel about the things we've gone through. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said, "Come to me as a little child." And what do children do? You know, in fact, Dusty, you've got a five-year-old, that's right. And I can tell you, if that five-year-old has a hard day, then it's a girl, isn't it? A boy. Let me pick your daughter when she was a girl. But let me tell you what children do. I know what certainly my children did. If they've had a difficult day, my little girl would spot me in the playground and I would know, oh dear, Abby needs some love, because I would see this little blonde bomb running towards me. She'd come straight to me. She'd say, "Alice wouldn't let me play. Kevin said I smell. And Nikki said I'm not good at maths." And she would burst into tears. And I would cuddle her. And within a couple of moments, she'd be healed. Come to me as a little child. But what do? "Lord, I had a difficult childhood. I just need some recovery." Now it's time to come to the Lord and say, "Father, I've never really faced the abandonment I felt when my dad walked out. I've never really dealt with that infidelity properly. Still makes me feel unsafe. That thing that happened," because God is the God who is able to do a transformational work in our hearts, but it starts with willingness. I remember making a decision after Naomi died. Naomi means our delight. And after she died, I made a decision. I don't care where I am. If I need to cry, I'm going to cry. You know, and at work even, I agreed with my boss, if I say I need to take 5, he would just leave me and I would go out into the fire exit, into a corridor. But I would let the pain out. I would pour out my heart like water before the face of the Lord, because I'd rather look silly but get healed. I'd rather lose my dignity for a moment and gain my destiny for eternity. Just right now, if you shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Right now, as I've been ministering, if the Lord has brought things up in your heart, reminded you of experiences that still carry sadness or pain, maybe it's things that happened when you were growing up, maybe like Tamar, you've been through defiling situations. Maybe it's disappointments in adult life. Maybe it's someone very dear to you. Maybe you lost someone. The Lord is saying today, as it says in Luke 5:17, the presence of the Lord is here to heal. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, I just want to encourage you in these moments just to start talking to the Lord. Just start to talk to the Lord. Just in your heart, tell him, this is what happened. Just in your heart, just start to speak to him. Tell him about the things that you've gone through and how it made you feel. I remember that day for the first time as I opened my mouth, I said, I don't feel good enough. I had this high-flying job. I was a pastor of a growing church. I was ministering all over the place, but I remember crying out and saying, God, I don't feel good enough. Whatever it is in your heart right now, start to talk to the Lord about those things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. But you, God, the Bible says, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and you take it. Right now, the Lord knows the things that you've gone through and he's here to bring his healing and his love. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. If there's something that as I've been ministering, God has opened your eyes to, things you've gone through, just in that sign before the Lord of like you're receiving a present, you're receiving something from him, just lift your hands in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. And in these moments, just start to tell the Lord about the things that you've gone through. Thank you, Jesus. Just start to tell him. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would heal every single heart in this place. I just want to invite you, those of you who've lifted your hands, just come to the altar. I just want to invite you to come and kneel at the altar. You know, one of the things I've learned is I would rather temporarily expose myself, but long-term get myself covered and protected. Just come and kneel at the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Just come and kneel at the altar. The healing love of the Lord is in this place. Thank you, Jesus. There was one church where I ministered and a man came forward who'd never faced some of the things he'd gone through in his childhood. And that was the day when he was released into the ministry that he knew had been on his life since he was a child. But because of the pain that he'd never dealt with, he'd been running away. Do you know, so many times we think it's okay to have trust issues. But you know, if all is well, then why do I find it difficult to trust people? You know, if we trust God, the evidence of that will be that we can trust people. Right now, thank you, Jesus. And just while you're here and those who are in your seats still, please continue to engage with God. And if you know you should be at the front, just make your way forward now. I just want to ask you to talk to the Lord about what you went through. Tell the Lord, just talk to him. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, Father, where your sons and daughters have experienced rejection, Father, that feeling of being cast away, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for your healing love. Lord God, I thank you that your word says that though my father and my mother have forsaken me, yet you have taken me up. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, for each one who's experienced rejection, oh, Restiala, Jesus, Lord God, I pray for that deep work within. Just in these moments, even as you're in your seats, just if you want to kneel in the presence of the Lord or sit to create some privacy, just use this time to do business with the Lord. Jesus, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, Lord. Father, where people have cast us away, have made us feel that we're not good enough. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for all that pain. For all that pain. Father, to come out. Lord, I thank you that pain is always better out than in. Oh, some of you have been carrying pain for far too long and it's been too much. And there's people in this place as well. And because of your desire to help others, you've just thought you needed to be strong for the sake of others. You just needed to be strong, strong for the children, strong for everyone else. But the Lord is saying, it's your time to be a child in my presence. Jesus, Lord, true strength comes out of healing. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, for your healing love, for your healing love to be released in this place. Oh, Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I pray for a loosing, Lord God, of pain. There's some of you, and it's been like there's almost a numbness on the inside of you because pain has been trapped for so long and has resulted in you just feeling distant and separated from other people. And the Lord is saying to you, this is your time. Jesus, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I pray for a release. Jesus, orestia la macchianta. Jesus, Lord God, I release your healing love in this place, your healing love. Thank you, Father, that it was when Jacob faced the truth about the issues in his life, and you said to him, what's your name? And he faced the truth about the label that had been given to him by his father that just represented everything that was wrong in his life. Father, thank you that when he faced the truth, you released your healing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father. Jesus, Lord, thank you, Father, for your healing love being released in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, where we've been undermined by people, belittled by people, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I pray for complete restoration. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, all pain that's been buried and cooped up for far too long, Father, I pray for your release. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. I just want to lead everyone in a corporate prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for restoration. Father, as we pour out our pain before you, thank you that you pour in your healing love. And the healing love is like a river in the desert. It waters the dry ground. Thank you, Jesus, for your refreshing healing rain, the rain of your spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just whether you're at the front or in your seats, I just want you to picture the Lord God, Daddy God, standing in front of you right now. You know, God did something extraordinary. Before Jesus did anything in ministry, before he stepped out and did the work that he was called to do, God publicly affirmed him. And that's the heart of God towards us too. When we're in Christ Jesus, we are his son, just as Jesus was. So right now, just in the presence of the Lord, I just want you to shut your eyes and picture God the Father in front of you. Daddy God in front of you right now. And he says to you, I'm going to address the men in the house first. He says to you, you are my beloved son. I love you, my son. Not because of what you can do for me. Not because of your talents or gifts. I love you because you are mine. I love you because you're my son. I love you because you belong to me. And in you, I take great pleasure. In you, my heart finds joy. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your affirmation on our lives. And every lady in the house, just with your eyes shut, just picture God the Father in front of you. And he says, you are my well-loved daughter. You're my little girl. You're mine. I love you. Not for what you can do for me. Not because of your gifts or your talents. Not because of your hard work. But just because you're mine. I love you. I rejoice in you. You make my heart delight. And in you, I take great pleasure. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I speak your blessing over every single one of your sons and daughters. And I thank you for a new work. Thank you, Jesus. You know, the book that your pastor mentioned earlier, 30-Day Detox for Your Soul, basically what God does. And there have been so many testimonies of people just saying they've been refreshed, transformed, just so much stuff released from the inside. But what it does is it takes you on a journey, a unique journey, because each one of us is unique, of shining. God will shine his light into the issues of your heart and show you how to get rid of those things that have hampered you, that have held you back, that have held you down. The first 10 days are called offload, and it deals with things like disappointment, words that have been spoken over our lives, dishonoring experiences we've gone through. The second 10 days is called clean out, and it brings cleansing and deals with things that clutter us, like distraction, guilt, worrying what other people think. And then the third 10 days is called build up. And that's when God just pours his refreshing back in our lives. We cover things like our words, our thoughts, strength, and then it ends with a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do today, and that's just on my heart, because one of the things I've noticed is that this book is great for people who aren't in church, backslidden people, people who are dry, who are out there. If you get one for yourself for the proper price, then I will give you a second one for just $5. If you will give it to somebody who's not, who's just hurting, who's out there, who's not in a good place, that you know that you think it will be able to help bring them back in, because it's been a real wonderful tool for just helping those people who are just have given up or are just discouraged or backslidden. So, yeah, I would love to do that. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. It's been a real blessing being with you all.
I'm going to ask you just to remain standing for a moment. And today is the second Sunday in the month. We have our sacrament of healing. I know there's been a lot of healing already, but I know, Robin, I want to pray for you. And anyone else who would like to be anointed with oil and prayed for, please feel free to come down and stand across the front and let us do that. Amen. Obey the scripture in James chapter 5. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about how God will bless your mess. And that's what she's been talking about this whole time. He just blesses what goes wrong in our life. He's the only one that can really take it and make it different. It's the eldership, just come and stand behind these, and let's just anoint these with oil and pray the prayer of faith and believe the Lord for healing. God, we just thank you. We sanctify this time by the word and by prayer. We call upon the name that's above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. He's Lord over creation. He's Lord over our bodies, our souls, our spirits. And we just thank you for touching us right now, God, and removing everything that needs to be removed and replacing with everything that needs to be replaced. We thank you for total divine healing that comes from you. And we give you praise, God. Thank you for what we heard this morning. Thank you for all the testimonies that's come through individuals and Joe this morning. Thank you, God, how much you love us, how much you care, how much you want to be with us every step of our journey. To take us from faith to faith, from strength to strength, and from glory to glory. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, ushers, become up and receive an offering for Joe's ministry today. Thank you for being here. If you make out a check, just make it out to EWC. Joe will be in the information booth in the back with Keith if you want to buy a book or you want to give with a card, however you want to do it. But I want to speak to some youth today. When I say youth, I'm talking about young people like 30. I'm gonna go to about 35. Wednesday night, I saw something in the spirit world, and doesn't mean he's leaving us older people out, but this word is really for like 35 under. There's a revival about to begin in this house, in that age group. There's going to be a tremendous amount of people's lives at that age group being changed. And you weren't here by accident today. You were here by the predestination of God. And we just, you know, one thing about getting older, and the older people that are here can help you, the younger ones, because we've been through what you've been through, and there's wisdom to be gained through it. Just by being in the presence of other people, there's healing that happens at times. It just flows out because it's there. And so, thank you. Have you received the offering past the buckets yet? Just go ahead. Do it. Thank you for your giving again. How many want to be in agreement with me? It's going to happen. You're going to see that. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. All right, let's worship the Lord. And after this, you can do what you want to do. But right now, do what you need to do. Amen.